It's not a nice feeling if you've ever been threatened. Maybe looking back to school days, there was a playground bully, and even if they looked at you, you felt threatened, or if they came close to you, you felt like running away. Or maybe in some of the icy mornings that we've had, you've maybe braked in the car, and the car has gone away from you, and you have sensed a sense of threat as you've maybe headed towards another vehicle or even to a gatepost or a tree. It's not a nice feeling when you feel that you're threatened. Or perhaps in the workplace, there's maybe some new kid on the block in the office, and you can see that they can do your job an awful lot better than you can do that job. And so this young whippersnapper is making you feel threatened for the future of your job, especially perhaps when you see your boss favoring them over you. As we think about the Christmas season and we think about the Nativity, there is a certain amount, of course, of all that is cute and cutesy and 1,000 Nativity plays across the land in schools and in carol services just like this. And we loved seeing the children this morning singing, and it is great to enjoy the children in that sense of a child is born, as the prophet says. And yet, at the heart of the story, there is also a man who is feeling very threatened by the arrival of Jesus Christ. And it's him that I just want to focus in on this evening for a few minutes as we think about how this man responded to the arrival of Jesus Christ, because it wasn't pretty and it wasn't good. His name was Herod, King Herod, or Herod the Great, as he was called. When Jesus Christ was born, he was about 70 years of age. Earlier in his career, he had been threatened in terms of his position by Antony and Cleopatra. So he is very much a figure of Roman history, someone who was involved with the Romans politically, and someone who had been put in place by the Romans politically. During his career as a governor of Judea, he had mishandled the Jews, and he had overdone some of the policing of the state, and he had caused much disgruntlement and resentment from the Jews because of the way he had handled uprisings. It was the Romans who had given him the title King of the Jews, but the Jews never really accepted him as a king because they saw him as a usurper. They saw him as someone who had been simply put in place as a political puppet. And his father was not a pedigree Jew, and therefore he was resented and he was despised by the Jews. He was an insecure man, consequently, and he lived with a continual sense, we might say, of feeling threatened, even though he spent much money in terms of building projects and trying to impress the Jews. He was an insecure man, and he lived with this continual sense of being threatened. So when the news came through to him in his palace in Jerusalem that there were Eastern visitors in the city, exotic, mystical type of men, asking a question, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? Herod's sense of insecurity must have gone off the scale. Where is the one who has been born king? Because Herod had not been born king. And those who are born king are legitimate kings, whereas Herod was very much an illegitimate king. The strange thing to think too about this is, as I've said already, he was about 70 years of age. 70 years of age. And yet we're told in Matthew chapter 2 that the whole city of Jerusalem was disturbed or agitated. And Herod, no doubt, included in that, as these men went around asking the question, where is the one born king of the Jews? He was agitated by the arrival of an infant, even though he was a 70-year-old man. And you know, I wonder just how things change very much nowadays. You may be tonight here in your 70s, you may be older, you may be seven, or you may be in still single figures or somewhere in between in the age scale. But the message of Jesus Christ invading the world, God's King, God's anointed Messiah, is still a message that threatens to this very day. Because we as human beings like to think that we are king of our own lives. We can do whatever we want. We can believe whatever we want. We can say whatever we want, think whatever we want. No one has any right to tell us anything different. In the famous poem by the poet Henley, he has these two lines: I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. And to many people, that's how they live their lives. It's just, I am this or I am that. And no one has the right to tell me anything. I am free. And then comes the news of one born king, God's king, come to earth. And we feel threatened by the arrival of this true king, whereas we ourselves are just usurpers trying to rule and to reign, to keep mastery and control over our own lives. But here is the invasion of God's king into this world, the message that is at the heart of this Christmas message. What did Herod do? He did three things. He read his Bible. It's good to read your Bible. He asked other people to read it for him. He got together the scribes, the Jewish experts, the legalists who were familiar with the scriptures, and he said to them, where is the Christ to be born? And these folk report to Herod, Bethlehem. This 700-year-old prophecy had been lying on the books, waiting to be fulfilled, and here it was fulfilled with the arrival of Jesus Christ. The birth of Christ was all part of a carefully laid plan. This was not something that just happened out of the blue. He read his Bible. Secondly, he called these Eastern visitors, these mystics, these magi together, and he said, make a careful search for the child. Report to me that I too may go and worship him. He sounds like he's a very religious man now, doesn't he? He's putting on a coat of religion, as it were, putting up a pretense that he too is a worshiper, that he wants to go and see this Christ for himself. But you know, if he was so interested, and yes, he would have been a busy man signing papers, he would have been meeting ambassadors and all sorts of engagements as the king of Judea. But if he was so interested, why didn't he go the 5 miles or so down the road from Jerusalem to Bethlehem? He just couldn't be bothered, really. Sure, he couldn't. He was putting on a pretense of being religious, but he wasn't prepared to make the effort to find Christ. And the third thing, he gave orders to kill all the baby boys under the age of 2. And this is what we might call the ugly side of Christmas, the massacre of the innocents, as it has been called. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted. And when we hear that aspect of the Christmas story, it's a reminder to us of the hardness of the heart of man, the entrenched opposition to Jesus Christ. And we might say and shake our heads, amazing that a man would have given orders and sent his soldiers to kill infants under 2, yet we live in a day when our government is proposing to legalize the killing of unborn children. The heart of man has not so very much changed. And we use religion very often as a cloak to cover over ourselves, as Herod was doing here. But on the inside, his heart was hard. His heart was sinful. His heart was set against Jesus Christ. So as we draw to a conclusion this evening, what should he have done? How should he have responded to the news of one born king of the Jews? Well, outside in the sky, there was a star, a special star. The whole creation was lighting up the fact that something was happening. He couldn't have missed it. It must have been the talk of the city, these visitors following this star. Just as the complexity and order of this world, how it is so finely tuned, it speaks to us today that low within a manger lies he who built the starry skies. Then there were the scriptures that we have mentioned, the law of Moses, the Psalms, the prophets, all bearing witness to the coming of the Christ. The Old Testament is packed with prophecies of Christ. He should have listened to the scriptures, and he also should have listened to the testimony of these Eastern mystics. We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. They had endured a dangerous and an arduous journey, but nothing was going to keep them back from finding the one born King of the Jews, God's King. I wonder how resolved you are to find Jesus Christ. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. Ask and it will be given to you. Herod, however, like so many people, just pulled up the drawbridge. He locked the door and he kept it all out there and most definitely not in here. Maybe you say this evening, that's me. I'm just closing it all out. So as we close, what should his reaction have been to this invasion of God into history? Because this should disturb us. If we think the Christmas message is just in David Essex's song, it's only a winter's tale. Is that all it is? A winter's tale to warm up our hearts at a cold time of year? Because if this story is true, the invasion of God into history, we've got to sit up and take notice. If the world's true king has come, the King of the Jews. And isn't it interesting, at the start of his life, they're asking the question, where is the one born King of the Jews? And at the end of his life, when he was crucified, they put a sign up above his head on the cross, the King of the Jews. As God made clear from the beginning right to the end that this was his king. And not just King of the Jews, but King of all who bow the knee, who serve him, who believe in him, who obey him, and who confess him as their Lord and as their Savior. I wonder, is he your king today? Have you bowed the knee to him, surrendered your life to him? If not, wake up, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, for Christ will give you light. Herod just wanted to stay dead. And he didn't rise up from the dead. The light had come to him, but he didn't rise up. He just said, I'd rather stay in the darkness. But I say to you this evening, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Look to him. Trust him and give him your life. Give him your all for safekeeping. No religion can save you. No Bible reading can save you. No praying can save you. Only Christ can save you. And that's why these wise men, when they came in, we're told, they bowed down and worshipped him, giving him their gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. He was worth everything. And these men gave him everything as they found him with Mary. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you and we praise you that though the coming of Christ into the world was a coming that makes us feel threatened, the Son of Man did not come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. We thank you, Father, for how this message, Lord God, was proclaimed by shepherds, proclaimed by angels, proclaimed by wise men. And we thank you, Father God, for how many have believed that message since those days. And we thank you, Father, for how Jesus Christ came to save sinners. Help us, we pray, our Father God, to look to him. Help us, we pray, Father God, even at this Christmas season, to come to know him. Help us, our Father, to walk with him and to know, Lord God, that he is the true King. He is the only one to serve, that we are false kings, we are usurpers, but he is to be king of our lives if we would find our reason for living. Continue with us, Lord, in our service, we pray, as we give thanks and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.